This is a download from Nature Research, part of Springer Nature.
Hello and welcome to this special podcast from Nature, featuring the winner of this year's Eppendorf Young Investigator Award. Every year since 1995, Eppendorf has awarded the prize in partnership with Nature to a European scientist in recognition of their outstanding research in biomedical science. Today I've come to the EMBL's Advanced Training Centre in Heidelberg, Germany, and climbed the iconic double helix walkway to find a nice quiet office to meet this year's winner, Dr. Andrea Ablasser. Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
I believe you had a bit of a horrible trip on the way here.
Yeah, my first flight got cancelled and the second one delayed.
You got here in the end. Well, first and foremost, I'd like to just say huge congratulations on behalf of Nature for winning the prize. You must be very chuffed.
Thank you very much. It's really a big honor to receive this award, and it's kind of an appreciation for the work of many people that are involved.
Let's start very generally then. At the very basic level, how does the innate immune system work to spot pathogens in and around our cells?
Okay, so the innate immune system has evolved so-called pattern recognition receptors that recognize specific microbial products, and these sensing of these microbial products triggers inflammation and innate immune effector responses that fight against pathogens. But at the same time, these pattern recognition receptors can also sense damage through sensing self-DNA products. And this can also indirectly alert the immune system to the presence of pathogens.
And the work in your lab is essentially aimed at elucidating the exact mechanism by which the DNA recognition actually works in our cells.
Yes, so we're majorly interested in understanding how DNA is sensed, how this sensing is translated into the induction of effector responses.
What got you onto this question, first of all?
I was very intrigued by the finding that double-stranded DNA can elicit very strong immune responses. Double-stranded DNA is the basic building blocks of life itself, so that's kind of a paradoxical situation.
You and your team have been aiming to uncover a lot of the details about a prime suspect behind this DNA recognition.
So we know today that one of the predominant mechanisms to sense double-stranded DNA is an enzyme called cGAS, which stands for cyclic GMP synthase, and it senses double-stranded DNA in a sequence unspecific manner and then produces a cyclic dinucleotide, second messenger molecule. And this second messenger molecule activates a second receptor called STING, and that then triggers downstream signaling and inflammation. And what we've contributed to the understanding is to describe the chemical nature of the second messenger molecule. And what we've gone on to show is that this signaling pathway has some very interesting features because it's not connected through protein-protein interaction, but through a soluble second messenger molecule. And what we've gone on to show is that the second messenger molecule has signaling function, so it can be horizontally transferred in between cells and alarm neighboring cells.
So that means that a cell can pass on this antiviral immunity to sort of neighboring cells, and it does so without eliciting the transcription of any genes.
Yeah, that's correct. So it cGAMP itself function as a signaling molecule that can relay information in between cells.
How does it get between cells?
So we've described that gap junctions. So these are channels that connect neighboring cells. And cGAMP is a very small molecule that can be passed through gap junctions in neighboring cells and thereby distribute in a local tissue environment in between neighboring cells.
Do we have any understanding of how this system is regulated? Because it sounds potentially very dangerous if it gets out of control.
Yeah, so this is, I think, a major question still incompletely understood in the field, how cGAMP is regulated. Are there enzymes that cleave it off? So one has been described, but probably there's still a lot of more to discover because, as you know, this pathway must be tightly regulated so to avoid aberrant stimulation or inappropriate activation of immune responses.
So does that occur? Are there kind of erroneous detection of self molecules?
Yeah, so that's actually a major focus of my lab right now. So what we know today is that there are very rare genetic disorders which have defects in DNA metabolic enzymes, and cGAS is a driver of these diseases and can contribute to very severe autoinflammatory syndromes. But what we've also beginning to realize is that sea gas, through its self-DNA sensing function, is involved in many more complex disorders or diseases, such as myocardial infarction, for instance. So there were two papers last year that described the activation of sea gas through self-DNA as a contributor to the detrimental outcomes following myocardial infarction, for example.
And does our more detailed understanding now of this mechanism offer any opportunities for therapeutic interventions for these diseases?
Sting and sea gas are emerging as very attractive targets for diseases, both in the context to stimulate these pathways, and for instance, in the context of tumor immunotherapy, but then also, as I just mentioned, to block them in auto-inflammatory disease, autoimmunity such as lupus, but also more complex diseases.
So this system is clearly vital in maintaining our defenses against pathogens and may even be useful for therapeutic interventions. But there's another more recent strand to your work, isn't there, separate from pathogenic infection, and that's in relation to senescence.
So that's also a effector response that's triggered by sea gas due to sensing aberrant self-DNA. And what we found is that during cellular senescence, so when cells get older, they show disruption of the nuclear envelope architecture. This leads to chromatin herniation, so DNA herniates into the cytosol. And we've gone on to show that this can activate sea gas and thereby contribute to an inflammatory response of aged cells. So what we are currently following up is whether sea gas and sting may contribute to aging or aging-related diseases. And it's quite intriguing because probably the mechanisms that help us to clear pathogens and that save our lives when we are young might be detrimental when we get older.
Andrea Ablassa there, describing her award-winning work on the innate immune system. Before I left the EMBL, I managed to speak to Professor Laura Macheski from the Beetson Institute for Cancer Research in Glasgow. She was part of this year's jury, and I wanted to know what had stood out about Andrea's work.
I think it was the combination of the medical relevance of what she does and the excitement, because this is a new area of the immune system sensing DNA in the cells and using that as a defense against things like viruses and pathogens, that made us really excited. And also the fact that she's a young investigator, but she's already made very significant contributions in her field.
Does that have relevance to your work? What do you do?
So I'm a cancer researcher, so in a way it does. It's a different area, but we're also very excited for cancer, about cancer immunotherapy. And so thinking about the relevance of Andrea's work potentially to cancer immunotherapy also added to the excitement, I guess.
Is it difficult to choose between the different candidates for the Eppendorf Award?
Yes, it is difficult. So this is the second time I've been on the committee. We always have at least 10 candidates that each of us are excited about in some way. And then we have to narrow down to just one. And the difficulty is that there are many excellent candidates and they're all very different from each other. So some have more of a translational angle, some have a more exciting, maybe basic research discovery, and other ones are just have more variety in what they do. And so we come together either in Frankfurt Airport or by Skype, and we talk about the attributes of each candidate, and we promote which one we think is the best, and we debate and discuss, and then try to come to a consensus.
Do you expect good things from Andrea in the future?
Definitely. I mean, she's a very young investigator, but she's already made extremely important, significant contributions in her field. And it's a hot field, which is rising in the number of publications and the amount of interest. And so I think she'll be one of the future leaders for sure.
That was Professor Laura Macheski, and before her, this year's winner, Professor Andrea Ablassa. This has been a special podcast from Nature Research, part of Springer Nature. I'm Jeff Marsh. Thanks for listening.